Page 120. Aside from his chronically swollen foot and a host of lingering aches and ailments, Ajahn Panya's health remained predictably stable over the years. The hot and humid seasons took their toll on his physical vitality, but minor operations on his foot, appendix, and prostate did little to slow him down in old age. He appeared to be aging gracefully with unflagging vigor. Then, at the age of 77, in the monsoon days of September 2003, a routine blood test uncovered telltale traces of internal bleeding. A slow and almost imperceptible loss of blood was occurring somewhere within his body. By analyzing the blood count, the doctors measured the loss, but they could not pinpoint its location. Follow-up tests pointed to the colon as the most likely culprit. When a colonoscopy exam discovered a malignant growth at the upper end of Ajahn Panya's large intestine, the doctors insisted on operating immediately to remove the tumor. Ajahn Panya was not noticeably sick. In fact, he felt and appeared quite buoyant. If the doctors had not detected it through a blood test, he would not have suspected a problem. After a period of calm reflection, Ajahn Panya gratefully dismissed their offer of surgery, saying he preferred instead to treat the malignancy with traditional herbal medicines. A disciple of his at the monastery quickly arranged for the delivery of a potent Thai herbal remedy, which Ajahn Panya began ingesting immediately. Appearing unfazed by the urgency surrounding his condition, he carried on with his daily routine as if nothing out of the ordinary had happened. Convinced that the medicine was working, he travelled to Bangkok several months later to get a full checkup. An MRI scan found that the tumour had shrunk from its original length of 5 centimetres down to only 1 centimetre. The news was welcome and most encouraging. Ajahn Panya took the herbal concoction scrupulously for an additional 5 months. In early May 2004, he was admitted to the hospital for another colonoscopy. The results confirmed what he suspected, that the tumour had disappeared. No graphic evidence that could be found. The upper colon appeared blessedly free of cancer. He seemed to be out of the woods. The question then arose, should he continue with the herbal medication now that the treatment had proved successful? A specialist in traditional Thai medicine advised him against halting the therapy abruptly. Instead, he was advised to carry on with it, but at half the dosage. His attendant monks pleaded with him to play it safe and heed the doctor's advice. Ajahn Panya concluded otherwise. Contrary to the broad consensus of his supporters, he decided to discontinue the herbal remedy, reasoning that it had done its job and was no longer needed. It turned out to be a fateful decision. Within 6 weeks, Ajahn Panya's health seriously degenerated. His students could see that his formal vitality and alertness were waning. As time passed, the decline became more pronounced. By mid-July, he experienced an ongoing and severe intestinal disorder. It became clear that he was having a relapse, and that this time he would not survive. The prospect of death hung like a cloud over the hearts of his disciples and permeated the monastic community with an intense awareness of its imminence. In Ajahn Panya's presence, death assumed a special significance, not as an impetus for melancholy thoughts, but as an urgent reminder that one's time on earth is fleeting. This was the final lesson that he bestowed on all of his students. Ajahn Panya's death was not an easy one. His room, filled with the odour of incipient decay, was overwhelmingly silent, but for the sound of his laboured breathing. Yet despite the uncertainty surrounding his potentially prolonged infirmity, he exuded a peaceful inner confidence, a spirited manifestation of his faith in the training and his fearlessness of death. That inner refuge enabled him to face death in a way that was at once thoughtful and serene. During the final week of his life, Ajahn Panya's overriding challenge was the constant fatigue of a body that had spent its karmic energy. He succumbed to utter exhaustion. His attendants were advised that unless he was induced to eat something, his digestive system would shut down, leaving him quickly at death's doorstep. Hospital doctors suggested placing a feeding tube through the nose and into his stomach. He flatly refused. Lay supporters hastily arranged for the preparation of flasks of soup and nutritious broths, which they offered in abundance each morning. But Ajahn Panya found it burdensome to force down even a few spoonfuls. Unable to eat, he gradually grew so weak that he could hardly manage even the simplest movements on his own. He continued to talk and laugh with those around him, but in a voice so faint they strained to make out what he said. Trying to force down a brew of his favourite tea, he joked with his attendants that nothing spoiled a good cup of tea like colonic cancer. When asked how he felt, he murmured softly that he felt no pain, only debilitating weakness. Several times the doctors offered to administer morphine, but his calm and quiet response was gently dismissive. Ajahn Panya remained alert and responsive to his environment until the night of August 16, when he seemed to let go of the external world completely. His breathing the following morning was deep and measured, but he evinced no knowledge of the world around him. Throughout the day and the final night, his breath became progressively shorter and shallower. By the early morning of August 18, his breathing was soft and smooth, but very frail. Soon it was barely discernible. Eventually it became so faint that no one knew precisely when it stopped altogether. The monks attending to Ajahn Panya in his final hour estimated the time to be 8:30 a.m. Ajahn Panya's passing was more than simply the death of a good monk. His death was a display of the depth of his realization and the power of the teaching that he had come to embody. In death, Ajahn Panya made his disciples aware that teachers of his caliber often concealed many exceptional qualities during their lifetime. Sometimes they showed them fully only at the moment of their death. Ajahn Panya's earnest conviction in the simplicity of a bhikkhu's life was evident from the mere handful of belongings that he left behind. Although born at a gold mine, gold was no different to him than dust. He never fell victim to fortune, fame, or worldly ambition. He did not have the reputation of a world-renowned teacher, a famous author, or an erudite scholar, nor did he exhibit mystical powers, claim psychic encounters with devas, or remain in seclusion for lengthy periods. He simply demonstrated that the truth of the Lord Buddha's teaching was to be found at the very heart of one's being. With grace and humility, he shared his wisdom and his confidence in the power of Dhamma to help liberate the minds of his fellow human beings. On August 28, 10 days after his death, Ajahn Panya's bodily remains were cremated at Bantat Forest Monastery. A special funeral pyre covered by an ornate Thai-style canopy was constructed on a broad stretch of ground at the front of the monastery, near a spacious pavilion that was built for use on large and important occasions. However, the pavilion was not nearly spacious enough to contain the thousands of monks and the tens of thousands of Buddhist faithful who gathered from all over the country as well as from abroad to offer their last respects to the monk whose impeccable goodness had warmed the hearts of so many people. The ceremony took place on a bright, cloudless afternoon, a blessed and welcome change from the stifling heat of the oncoming monsoons. For a moment, as Ajahn Panya's casket was placed atop the funeral pyre, the whole crowd was still. Then an extraordinary occurrence attracted everyone's attention skyward. Against the clear blue sky shone a fiery white light from a blinding, seemingly boundless source, a diamond-bright heart radiating outwards and fading to a softly diffused circular glow. Around this white diamond was a second circle, a ring of rainbow light with an outer border of luminous white down. It was the sun, resplendent in breathtaking purity, encircled by a magnificent rainbow which suffused the translucent, wispy clouds with a prismatic glow. This sudden apparition drew the gaze of the whole congregation and transfixed it on the heavens. A soft, amazed murmur passed through the crowd as the circular rainbow slowly dissipated and faded from view. Twice more during the course of the funeral ceremony, the natural elements conspired to conjure the same amazing phenomenon. It was as though the power of Ajahn Panya's spiritual attainment had induced this image to reflect the depth and subtlety of his virtue for all to witness. That vivid testimony to Ajahn Panya's profound spiritual awakening marked a supremely graceful conclusion to the life and practice of a monk whose kindness and humility radiated softly from his being to encompass the whole sentient universe.